You're listening to KZSU, Stanford. Oh no. Wait, oh. Okay. No, that's not the sound. This is definitely not what I had in mind. This is a Cranky Kid show.
One day, a green as the hills Massachusetts guy named Ishmael decides he wants to be a sailor. He pals up with a heavily tattooed heathen harpooner named Queequeg, and they both get hired to work on a ship called the Pequod.
Rumor has it that the Pequod was originally named the Pequot until the Connecticut tribe threatened to sue Melville for intellectual property violation. So he changed the name of the ship to the Pequod, and the Pequots had to settle for opening casinos instead.
The captain of the Pequod, not to be confused with a peak wad, a rolled upper after corner of a fore and aft sail, which could be used as a pillow in a pinch. Anyway, the captain's name is Ahab.
He's a spooky kind of a guy with a wooden leg who likes to have a Parsi with him wherever he goes. Not to be confused with parsley, which is edible, or the Parsi, spelled P-A-R-C-A-E, who were the Fates in Roman mythology, or per se, which is of, in, or by itself, or oneself.
Well, anyway, the long and short of it is that Ahab only wants to find the great white whale, Moby Dick, who ate his leg. He convinces the crew to let him do this. And then the crew gets drunk and shouts and sings a bunch of sailor songs.
Yarr!
So, they sail all over the place. The South Atlantic, the Indian Ocean, and into the Japanese Sea. They meet another ship, the Enderby, whose captain has just lost an arm to Moby Dick. With Moby Dick up an arm and a leg in the game, you'd think Ahab would give up. But Ahab gets all excited, thinking he's getting closer to Moby Dick, and promptly sails to the Pacific Ocean.
The crew is getting a bit tired of this, but Ahab apparently has the charisma to make them stay the course. Then a typhoon hits. We suspect this is just for dramatic effect. After the winds die down, the Pequod meets a ship called the Rachel, and a post-tempestuous relationship ensues with the captain of the Rachel, leaving very disappointed in Ahab. Moby Dick is sighted, and hence the chase begins. And so we come to Moby Dick, the chase, first day.
It's stanky up here. I smell a whale. Change course so we can get closer to the smell. Dagu, get everyone on deck to look for the white whale.
Aye, aye, Captain Ahab. Here, let me help hoist you up to the top of the main royal masthead.
There she blows! There she blows! A hump like a snow hill. It's Moby Dick! How come none of you nincompoops saw him?
I, Tashtigo, one of your harpooners, saw him, and I cried out.
But I still beat you to it. Nah, 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 nah. Look, Moby Dick is going to sound. First Mate Starbuck, lower three boats for the chase, but you stay on board.
Aw, shucks. I never get to have any fun.
Be dumb, man. Stand by the braces. Hard down the helm. Brace up. Shiver her. Shiver her. So, well that. Boats. Boats.
Huh?
Just hurry up and lower the boats.
Oh, okay. Don't forget to take Fidela, your Oriental Parsi harpooner.
Right. Quick, you guys. Get these boats closer to Moby Dick.
Wow! What a beautiful white whale.
Can it, Ishmael? I say he's evil, and therefore he must die. Besides, if you think I'm ugly with my scarred face and one and a third legs, you should see Moby Dick's jaw.
Yeah, it's as deformed as they come.
Look, he's diving once more.
Sounding, Ishmael. The term is sounding, not diving.
But they mean the same thing. One's just esoteric nautical jargon.
True. Anyway, We'll have to wait an hour for him to surface again.
The birds! The birds!
Hey, this is Melville, not Hitchcock.
No, there really is a bunch of white birds.
And they're surrounding your boat.
Uh-oh, I don't like the looks of this. I better peer over the side. Good grief! Moby Dick is coming up from below, and he's got his mouth wide open. I'd better move the boat out of the way. Vidalar, you Oriental Parsi, switch places with me so I can harpoon him.
Those knuckleheads, they think they can spin their little boat and get away. Ha! I, Moby Dick, am gonna eat their boat.
Oh, great. Now half the boat is in Moby Dick's jaws. And talk about bad breath.
Yikes, he's bitten the boat in two.
Run for it!
Crew, we're on the ocean, remember?
Swim for it!
Yuck, what are they making these boats out of, wood?
What the heck is the whale doing?
A pirouette.
And now he's circling us.
If I do this fast enough, I'll be able to flush him down into the ocean.
I feel like I'm desperately trying to stay afloat in a giant toilet.
Bingo, Buster. Oh shoot, here comes their ship, the Pequod, to spoil the fun. Oh well, I might as well swim away. I've had my fun for the day.
Thank goodness I'm still alive, and so are all five of my men. Even my lucky harpoon didn't get lost. On with the chase.
We're pooped. Let's go back to the ship instead.
Okay, I'll just pace the deck while we chase Moby Dick with the Pequod.
Just look at your boat, Captain Ahab. It's a mess. This is not a good sign.
Starbuck, you are the most pessimistic guy I know. Now go away and let me pace the night away in peace.
Yes, and there you have it. The first fun-filled day of chasing Moby Dick. Let's recap. Ahab sees Moby. Three harpoon boats go to chase Moby. Ahab's boat is surrounded by white birds. Moby bites Ahab's harpoon boat in two and overturns the other two harpoon boats. Everyone has to swim back to the Pequod. Ahab is glad he still has his lucky harpoon. Although, having already lost a leg, you have to wonder what his definition of luck is. And then he decides to pace the deck all night instead of getting a good night's sleep. We now move on to Moby Dick. The chase, second day.
Do you see him?
No, Captain Ahab.
Criminy, it's a good thing I know how to track a whale, because you people are useless as scouts. Turn here and go faster.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Watch it, Moby Dick. You can't escape. The mad fiend Ahab is after you.
We're gonna get you. We're gonna get you.
Stub?
Yes, sir?
Stop yelling over the railing. You're giving me the willies.
Aye, aye, Captain.
There she blows.
There she breaches.
Huh?
Breaches. Leaps from the water.
Oh.
Lower the boats. Mr. Starbuck, stay on the ship and keep away from the boats, but keep near them.
Aw, shucks. I never get to have any fun, and now I'm confused.
Oh boy, the silly sailors want to come out and play again with me, Moby Dick.
Oh my gosh, he's coming straight for all three of our boats.
Fear not. I'll harpoon him head on.
We'll all throw our harpoons at once.
Rats! Now I'm all tangled up in these ropes attached to their harpoons. Oh well, I'll just pay a merry little visit to Ahab's boat, since it's the closest.
Yikes! I'd better cut some harpoon lines or Moby Dick will tow me away.
Oh no! The other two boats have smashed together!
And now I'm gonna flip Ahab's boat into the air! Yippee!
Oh poop, I'm all wet again, just like yesterday. And my fake leg got snapped off too. The ship's carpenter is gonna be really pissed at me.
Well, I think I'll go swim away again. There's no sport in eating floating sailors, and something's itching on my side.
Look at the mess this time, Captain Ahab. Not only does your ship, the Pequod, have to pick up all you sailors, but we have to try and rescue all the debris. We're running out of harpoons and boats.
Calm down, Mr. Starbuck. You sound upset. Where's Vidala?
Oh, he got tangled up in your lines and disappeared with the whale.
Oh, please, stop chasing Moby Dick. He's making fools of us all, and now Vidala's gone, and there's a million little pieces to repair. And today, he even ate your fake leg the same way he ate your real leg when you first met him.
Starbuck.
Yes, Captain?
Go take a nap. It's getting late.
Okay.
Now, some time ago, Vidala told me that he'd die before me, but I would see him again before I died. But if he's gone to the bottom of the ocean, how will that happen?
Indeed. Let's recap the second day. Ahab again spots Moby and proceeds with three harpoon boats to catch him. Everyone throws their harpoons at once, leading to a big tangle of ropes, boats, and Moby. Then Moby starts towing Ahab's harpoon boat. while the other two harpoon boats are smashed together. Ahab cuts his harpoon lines just in time to escape as Moby flips his harpoon boat and snaps his wooden leg off. Moby swims away. Ahab and the harpooners swim back to the Pequod. Starbuck complains about the mess. Everyone thinks Fadala is dead. And now we move on to the dramatic conclusion with Moby Dick. The chase, third day.
What a lovely day again. Do you see him?
No.
Follow his wake.
His wake, sir?
His turbulence path in the water, Mr. Starbuck. Am I the only one who's ever been on a ship before? No, go away. I have to have a talk with myself that will take over a page in the book.
Are you done, Captain Ahab?
Almost. To it, aloft there. What do you see?
Nothing.
What? It's almost noon. Sway me up to the top of the main masthead. Darn, we've oversailed him. Moby Dick's chasing me now. About, about. Man the braces.
What?
Turn the ship around.
Oh.
Well, this seems like a brilliant idea. Turn the ship around and head for a giant whale's mouth. Hello, God, I'm saying my prayers now.
There she blows, forehead to forehead, I meet thee this third time, Moby Dick. On deck there, brace sharper up, crowd her into the wind's eye, stand over the helmsman with the top maul.
Huh?
Point the ship at the whale and go faster, okay?
Okay.
And while you're doing that, I think I'll sit up here and reminisce about the sea, Nantucket, and my youth. Hey, there's moss growing in this masthead. Here we are, myself and this mast, growing old together. And what did Fadala, the Oriental Parsi, say? That I'd see him before I died, and that hemp was the only thing that could kill me? But he's at the bottom of the ocean, and we've been sailing from the spot where he sank since last night. Oh well, goodbye, masthead. We'll talk again tomorrow when I have Moby Dick dead on the deck of the Pequod.
Sir, are you done talking to an inanimate object?
Sure. Lower me down and lower the boats while you're at it. Oh, and Starbuck?
Yes, Captain Ahab?
Shake my hand. There's only 8 more pages in this book, and I think I might die.
Oh, my captain, please don't go.
You stay on board, Mr. Starbuck.
Aw, shucks. I never get to have any fun, and all this tension is making me cry.
The sharks!
Gee, a whole bunch of sharks are biting the oars of Captain Ahab's boat, and they're not bothering the other two boats at all. That man just cannot take a hint. And now I'm having doomsday visions. I'm shuddering, I feel faint, and a seahawk just ripped a red flag off our mainmast and is flying off with it.
Golly, from here it looks like Mr. Starbuck is a bit upset. Anyway, Moby Dick has just sounded. I'll just sit here and wait for him to surface again. And will someone please shut these snapping sharks up?
Well, well, well. It seems that these people simply can't get enough of me, Moby Dick. I guess I'll have to surface and teach them another lesson. Take that. And that. And that.
Hey, the white whale has bashed in the front end of the other two boats, but left mine alone. And yuck, Fadala's half-torn body is lashed to Moby Dick's side. I guess Fadala was right. I am seeing him again. You guys take your boats and head back to the ship.
We'll repair them if we can, and then return.
That's nice to hear, Stubb. But if you can't, I don't mind dying alone.
Alone?
Quiet, crew. Keep rowing.
The sharks!
Oh, whack them with what's left of the oars.
This party's getting boring. It's time to bag these clowns.
Look, Captain Ahab. Moby Dick is swimming away. You see? He doesn't seek you. It's you who seeks him. It's not too late to stop this madness.
Can it, Starbuck? I'm gonna get that whale. You follow me with the Pequod, but don't follow too closely. And tell Tashtego, the harpooner, to hammer up another flag on the main masthead. It looks naked without one.
Gosh, I'm tired. Why don't they just leave me alone? Maybe if I pretend to ignore them.
This is it. I'm going to sink my lucky harpoon into this whale and curse him at the same time.
Oh, how original. Take that.
Oh, sure. Knock 3 of my boat crew into the water, why don't you? And one of them is now floating away. Oh well, put the other two back on board and hang on to that rope tied to my harpoon.
It snapped!
That's it. I've tried to be nice and swim away, but no. You have to keep pushing the issue. Okay, step back, Jack. I'm gunning for the Pequod now.
The whale! The ship!
Oars! Oars!
Really, sir? There's no need to be crude.
Darn, now my boat has also caved in from Moby Dick's thrashings, and we are only able to sit here in the water and watch while the white whale swims onward to sink my ship.
Oh, what a mess this is! And to think that all my life I've been faithful and prayed on a daily basis. This is unfair. I mean, really, to be smited by a whale that I'm not even in favor of chasing.
You? I say, Mr. Starbuck, I, Stubb, am a bit dismayed that I will die without the taste of some fresh fruit in my mouth. A cherry, perhaps?
A cherry? How selfish. I, Flask, only wish that my poor mother has gotten my part pay by now. Otherwise, she's gonna be poor, poor, poor.
Oh, boo-hoo. You idiots should have thought about this before. I'm gonna smite the Pequod's starboard bow.
Oh, no.
We're sinking.
Darn this whale. I'm going to harpoon him again. Rats, the line is stuck. I'll fix it. Oops, the line's caught me about the neck, and I'm a dead man.
Ahab's boat is sinking.
What more can happen?
It is I, Tashtigo, who says that all three of us harpooners will each stay at the top of a mast as the Pequod sinks from sight. Not only that, but I will nail a passing seahawk, who's being a real pest, I must say, to the mainmast. And as we sink, I will keep my arm and hammer raised to the end.
Talk about poetic justice and an enduring visual.
Yeah, and a great plug for a cooking and cleaning product. I could start a company, but I have to drown instead.
Well, at least I, Ishmael, get to survive and tell the tale, even though a great deal of it is in third person. Go figure. I was the one who floated away the last time Moby Dick flipped Ahab's boat. It was a piece of the debris from the Pequod that kept me afloat until another ship picked me up a day later. And no matter what some PhD English professor in the Cliff Notes tries to tell you, the only reason why my character survives is because without me surviving, there'd be no one to tell the story in first person. Full stop, plain and simple. Yeah.
That was Moby Dick, The Chase.
Stanford Parking and Transportation Services asks,
is having a good hair day worth a very real risk of paralysis, permanent brain damage, or death if you're involved in a crash on your bike?
Bike helmets reduce head trauma in the event of a collision by up to 85%. Love your brain, wear a helmet. Learn more by visiting bike.stanford.edu.
And now, everyone, it's
time for cows!
Cows in Norway? Today we are talking to the telemark.
Hurdy gurdy, hurdy gurdy, hurdy gurdy.
I take it, you're Scandinavian.
You can take what you like, but I'm a cow. A telemark cow. I live in Norway.
Do you like it there?
Oh yes, the mountains are beautiful in southeastern Norway. I spend my time there grazing and grazing and grazing. Hurdy-gurdy, hurdy-gurdy, hurdy-gurdy.
That's high roughage.
High mountains.
No, I mean that kind of grazing is considered a high roughage diet.
Well, it suits us very well. We are very efficient milk producers on a high roughage diet. Our live weight is 400 to 500 kilograms.
And your dead weight?
Not nearly so much.
You have very interesting colors. You have a solid reddish color on each side that looks like it was painted on you with a roller.
And the rest of me is a much lighter, more whitish color. Red side is what they call these markings on my hide.
So if I laid you on your side and placed you between two pieces of bread,
it would look like mayonnaise was squishing out of all four sides of the bread.
That is so neat.
Yes, but you might break some teeth on my horns and hooves. Hurdy gurdy, hurdy gurdy, hurdy gurdy. Bye now.
This is a Cranky Kid Show. It's now time for Hemi Demi Semi Quaver. We open our musical chest and find software loops of sound. Working with software loops can be fun and frustrating. Fun because you get to explore and use thousands of different sounds. Frustrating because it's not always intuitive how to put them to use. Our musical chest suggests that you start out with exploring composition with loops by focusing on one instrument. For this example, we have chosen the banjo for two reasons. First, it has a very distinctive sound. The banjo is a stringed instrument whose resonant surface makes it very loud and not given to an extreme dynamic range. Some would say it's loud and louder. And second, it can also have an unforgiving fast delivery if it is soloed. So precision is a must when splicing arpeggiating banjo loops together, especially if a splice occurs mid-loop. When working with loops, it is also suggested that your solo instrument loops be in the same acoustical space. Loops may have the same primary heading in your software program. However, only listening will tell you whether they are in the same acoustical space. Now, the finished solo banjo piece in our example today uses over 20 different loops. But for the moment, we'll isolate one section to illustrate how loops can be combined. Our isolated section is 32 beats long and uses three loops. Our first loop is 8 beats long. Our second loop is 4 beats long. Our third loop is 8 beats long, but only the first 4 beats are used because the entire 8 beats results in a cadence which would not work for being used in the middle of our finished banjo piece. A cadence in music is when a phrase gives the indication that it is coming to some sort of ending and not going any further. The last 4 beats of loop 3 give just that impression. Here is loop 3. Our isolated section proceeds in this order. First loop, second loop, shortened third loop, second loop repeated, shortened third loop repeated, and finally our first loop repeated. During the original splicing of the second and third loops, the software algorithms were not as fully fleshed out as they are at this point in time, and a slight glitch was apparent to the composer, who found this very annoying, even though most listeners could not even hear it. The glitch, slowed down for you here, sounds like electrical interference and not the roll of the banjo strings. The new splice, also slowed down for you here, corrected the glitch. Listen again. Splice with glitch. Splice without glitch. With. Without. Now let's listen to the entire solo banjo piece entitled Banjo Relay, which has been lowered several keys to make it feel warmer. See if you can recognize the isolated section that we explored in detail earlier.
Thank you.
And now we close the musical chest of Hemidemi Semiquaver. And now for a day in the life of the literal family, with Ma and Pa Idiom and the twins, Sissy and Gerund.
Ma, she's rubbing me the wrong way.
You said if I scratched your back, you'd scratch mine.
Ma, now she's pulling my leg.
Both of you stop that. Now one of you go tell your Pa that the early bird caught the worm.
But then he'll be outside all day looking for it.
What was that?
Nothing, Ma. I just dropped the ball. Hey, who let the cat out of the bag?
Don't worry about the cat. She'll just go out on a limb. Now what's going on?
The curtain fell. We need a new rod.
I guess you're right. Better safe than sorry.
Ma, do we have time to race around the clock?
No, you'll be late for school. See who's at the door.
It's Pa.
Yeah, he's got the cart before the horse again.
What you got in the cart, Pa?
A lock, stock, and barrel, Sissy.
Oh, well, I think I'll just go sit on the fence.
Watch out for that wolf in sheep's clothing.
That's our dog, Pa.
You know you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
So who taught him to wear that sheepskin in the first place?
Jaren, Sissy, grab the apples.
Ooh!
Ma's right, Sissy. An apple a day does keep the doctor away.
Oh, boo-hoo-hoo.
Aw, Sissy, don't cry over spilt milk.
But I was gonna make some ice cream tonight with it.
That's okay. The show must go on.
The show? I forgot all about it.
Ah, look, Pa, at those little happy campers together in our yard.
Yeah, well, tell the girls to stay away from them. They might have fleas.
Hello to all you parents out there. Are you frustrated with your teenager? Are they already starting their summer of sarcasm even though it's May? Do you suspect that the teenagers in your life have been genetically enhanced for obtuse observations and accusations, thus making it impossible to hold a conversation without being given the "How can you be so stupid?" look and being told you're wrong about whatever every other sentence? If these things are making your life less than copacetic, then let me tell you about Vito's Attitude Adjustment Seminars for Teenagers. We have your basic package where you send your attitude challenged family member to our facilities and we reintroduce him, her to the concepts of respect.
You listen to what you're told, understand?
Pulling their weight.
You want more?
No, I'll take out the garbage. I will.
And knowing when to keep quiet.
Shut up. You don't know what you want to say until I tell you.
We will then take him higher into our advanced courses, which, with the proper physical training, will definitely make a turnaround in their attitude deficits.
This is not the Marines, you moron. You see this bet? You see it?
As I was saying, Vito's Attitude Adjustment Seminars for Teenagers will turn your home life around and let you enjoy the respect and peace and quiet that you deserve. Find us at www.swimmingthefishes.org. We have an easy payment plan individually tailored for each family. For this opportunity, we may ask a small favor in return. That's www.swimwiththefishes.org. Log on and double-click on Rosa. She does our books. Rosa!
This brings us to the end of the Cranky Kids Radio Show. Information about Cranky Kids can be found at crankykids.com. That's cranky with a K, crankykids.com. Until the next time, everyone stay well and do have fun. Bye now.